Take your Bible, turn to the book of Romans this morning, chapter number 4. Book of Romans, chapter number 4. I'm going to read the scripture. And then I want to share with you what the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made possible. Think about that. What the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made possible. Begin with me in chapter number 4. I'm going to go down to verse 13. It says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is a faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, when he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Read that again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you. We have the marvelous privilege today to enter into this house, to hear and participate in the music that brings glory and honor to you. We thank you for the fellowship we've been able to have. And, oh God, I pray that the word is preached, you've said there's power in preaching. Lord, I've never, ever understood that, but you said it. And so, Lord, I must take that by faith, believing that, and Lord God, that you would reach down and touch in hearts. I pray that through it, that if there's any in this room that are not saved, be a day of salvation. I pray, oh God, for your people. If they've been saved and haven't been as the word sanctified, been really set apart to your work, God, that you would work in those hearts. Bless, we pray, in these moments, in Jesus' name, amen. What the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made possible. First of all, as I look at verse number 25, I would have to say justification. Justification. He said, what does that mean? Well, a very simple definition I heard many years ago. Some refute it, but I think it's a very good one, very simple. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justification is making us just before God, making us perfect before God. Now, if we look in the mirror, we're going to have to say, that's a pretty tough job to do, because you and I, we are not perfect. Matter of fact, we find that we cannot do that by the works of the law. In verse 13 through 15, it basically says that, as he talks about the law of God and how it must be through the righteousness of faith, not through the law of God. It is by faith in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, as we find verse number 16, that you and I can be made just before God. Notice verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's by faith. Matter of fact, Abraham is used as an illustration of this thing of faith. And we find that the Bible teaches us something very dramatic about Abraham. And that is that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What a great, wonderful verse found back in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. It was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, there's another word that we use, talked about in Sunday school just a moment, is imputed to him. It's something God gave to him. And God gave it to him because he believed God. Now, how simple can it be? Because he believed God. You say, well, what do you mean believe God? Whatever God reveals from his word, and we believe it, that's called faith. You see, if you believe what I say, then you are believing in my words. If I believe what you say, then I'm believing in your words and the fact that you are meaning those and that they are true and right. And thus we believe God, and as we believe him in these areas, God says he will count it to us as righteousness, or he imputes it to us that you and I might have his righteousness placed upon him. Let me rehearse this again as I dealt in Sunday school. We find from the word of God that our sins were laid upon him when he died upon the cross of Calvary. And you and I, our sins, our transgressions was laid upon him. He did not die for his sins. He died for ours. And then when you and I will believe what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, we then find something marvelous. And that is that his righteousness is laid upon us. In other words, it's imputed to us. We have in our church many people who work in the banks. We're the banker church. And we got all these, a lot of them are called tellers. They tell you anything you want to hear. And they have all these different titles. But there's one thing that I believe all of them could tell you, and that is most people who walk into their bank are not just going to say, hey, put this on somebody else's account. Especially if it's a stranger. They're not going to do that. But that's what Jesus did. And he imputes that to you and I if we will believe it. I find that incredible. We learn from these promises that heirship, being an heir to something, is a promise that must be believed, not worked for. If you've made out a will and you've told your children about it, they believe that. They don't have to work for it. It's something that you gave to them. It is something that you wanted them to have. And faith, we find, is the initiator of what we would call grace. You and I, we need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. By the way, let me explain to you the difference. Mercy of God is not getting what you deserve. What we deserve is to die and go to hell. The grace of God is getting what we don't deserve. And what we get is a marvelous eternity in heaven with the Lord. That's God's grace and faith and mercy to you and to me. And you and I, we find that the way that all starts is believing God. And of course, we've mentioned that righteousness is imputed by faith. His resurrection makes possible our justification. His death and shedding of blood paid for our sin. His burial proved that his death, his resurrection makes us just before God. Understand here, when Jesus died, what did he do? He paid for our sins, but we need the resurrection to make us just before God. Both of those involve very dramatically in salvation. So what's the resurrection of Jesus Christ make possible? One is justification. Another, I believe, is exciting, and that is access. Access. See, access. Yeah, access to God. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 16, it says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You and I have access to God the Father. We can go to him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities,
but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come bold into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now we have access. We have God say, come and ask me, come and seek me, come unto me. We can anytime, anywhere pray, and God will hear us. We can have that assurance. Yet if we go back in the Old Testament, perhaps help us understand how marvelous this is. If they had a sin in their life, they had to go to the temple. It didn't matter if they were the farthest away tribe in the land of Israel. They had to go to the temple with the proper offering to plead for the mercy of God. Now, if we're saved, we are the temple of God. We don't have to go any farther than where we are sitting at. The offering has already been made through the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that His grace then is sufficient for all of our needs. We have access. We can come to Him for whatever is needed. Listen, if I've never seen you before, this is not true. But if I've seen you, listen, I've been praying for you. And I've been asking God to do different things in your life. I have a prayer list, and I got your name on there. Matter of fact, I put your children's names on there. Husbands, I put your names on there. Wives, I put your names on there. Because this head don't remember names some days. How many understand what I'm saying? Oh, a lot of old people here. And we have difficulty with that, do we not? And that's why God said to remember. But nonetheless, I pray for you and ask God to work in your life. Listen, I have access to God to ask Him to do that. This is what I know about that. If I know you and you're not saved, and I say, Spirit of God, move upon their heart, bring conviction to their soul. There's something that takes place every time I ask that. God answers that prayer. You say, how do you know that? Because it's the will of God. And when we pray in the will of God and ask God something that He wants, then He is going to answer. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get saved, because it's going to mean you're going to get poked in the side again. It means God's going to do something to bring you, try to seek to bring you to that spot where you're going to put your faith and trust in Him. We have access to God. Thirdly, and this will be a little hard to explain with this word, but accountability. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has made possible accountability. Now listen, Christian, I think you should understand this. Salvation puts us in Christ. We understand that. We are placed in Him. In Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you and I get saved, we are placed, what, in Christ. Now here's something marvelous. Sanctification means we are set apart for the service of God. Sanctification is Christ in us. Understand, is there a difference? If we are in Him is one thing, He in us is something else. In Colossians 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now think about it for just a moment. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was completely led by the Holy Spirit of God. Again, I do not understand it, but we find that when He came to this world, He divested Himself of certain things. He came as a man, and we find that He was led of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, one of the first places you find it, this is a difficult one. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. We find often throughout the Gospels where He was led by the Spirit of God, where He sought the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. Christ in us, He is completely led, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. What's that mean, if he be in us? Think about this for a moment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we'll see it perhaps a little bit differently. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What has become new? Christ in us. The old things, they are gone. And with he within us, you and I have the power to be able to accomplish whatever it is God has for us. You say, why did you say accountability? Because we will give an account for our actions. We will give an account as to whether we allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to have complete control in our life, to truly be in us. We will give an account. In Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of you shall give an account of himself. By the way, this is not for the lost person. This is talking to the Christian. Now, it has nothing to do with the gift of salvation. It has nothing to do whether you're going to heaven or hell, but God is going to make us give an account of himself. How many in school right now? You're going to school right now. How many? A few hands go up. You're in classes. How many say I'm a good student? I got two people. What is this, a bunch of flunkies here? I know this one down here raised her hand. She says, I think I'm a good student. I can tell you how I know that to be true. Because she has been accountable through a thing called tests. Everybody loves tests, don't they? But it is something that is an accountability thing. Students think it's just a meanness of the teacher. No, it's making us accountable. You see, if that was not there, that we knew we'd have to be accountable, we probably wouldn't be doing even as good as we are. So you're made accountable. If you do poorly, does that mean you're going to hell? Does that mean you get kicked out of school? No, not at all. But it does mean you might lose some benefits that would have been yours. So let's put it in context for a moment. In the book of Romans chapter 14, verse number 9, says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that interesting where that verse is there? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Isn't that interesting? If we're going to judge something, we need to judge ourselves as to whether we're a stumbling block, or we will find ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ trying to explain why we were. Why has it all come about? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is paying attention. And the last thing I would say, what does the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ make possible? I believe it makes possible a great attitude. You know, the Bible teaches this. The Holy Spirit of God has taken away the spirit of fear. This is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If we have fear, did God give it to us? If we believe the Bible, we understand God didn't do that. It goes on and says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you understand that the fearfulness of this last year especially has not been of God? Now many have gone through some horrendous things. But going through those things, listen, we don't have to fear. For we know His will be done. Whatever it might be. Whatever it is. And we do not need to fear. You say, well, does that mean we don't be precautious? I didn't say anything about that. Not at all. Does it mean we don't prepare? Didn't say anything about that. Are we fearful? Because He arose and went into heaven, the Holy Spirit descended upon us and given us the Spirit of power. And think about this. And He has gifted us. He's gifted us. We go back to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit. Please understand, it does not say fruits. This is not nine different things. This is all combined together. The fruit of the Spirit. He's not giving us one and withholding the other. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's not against the law to have these things. And the Spirit of God has given us these things. Listen, that is a tremendous attitude when you and I are exhibiting that love and that joy and that peace and that long-suffering. When we're being gentle and good and faithful and meek and temperate, that's a great attitude. And because this kind of attitude, it does something for us. One of the things I find it does is this. You cannot be threatened because you have the power of God. Listen, you can't be offended, for your eyes are on Him, not yourself. Do you realize this morning? The only thing that can destroy you as a Christian is a lie. Let's go a little bit farther. That is believed. A lie that is believed. That's the only thing that can destroy you. Thank God for the truth of God's word. Thank God for the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it does for us. We ought to be excited to hear Rose again. Amen. We have this morning's result of that justification. It is available to us. We have a result of that, an access unto God. We can pray to Him because He's a living Savior. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He's alive. We're accountable to Him. Why? Because He's alive. If He were dead, we wouldn't be accountable to Him. And because He's alive, we can have the right kind of attitude. By the way, it's an attitude of victory. Listen, is there anything more victorious than having power over death? You say, well, preacher, you're going to die one of these days. Understand something. My body's not saved yet. Boy, I can testify to that. It's not saved yet. Neither is yours. Huh? How many woke up with a neck ache or a back ache this morning? How many bounded out of bed this morning and said, oh, isn't this a glorious day? I mean, you woke up and boom, you were awake. Huh? I see a couple of hands. You're the oddballs, I'll tell you that for sure. No offense. Thank God for people like that. But they're rare. Listen, He's victorious, amen? And so you and I, listen, we're on the victory side. This body's going to die. And this body's a mess. And one of these days, somebody's going to put it in the grave. By the way, I don't know if they'll do it, but I've told you in the past, please make that undertaker put my arms out like this, because at the rapture, I want to make a big hole. Or at least do this. That's one of the most stupid things I've ever said in my life. Do you understand? There's nothing greater than the victory Jesus had over death. My body's going to die because it's not been saved. But my soul will not die. Because when I die, the Bible says to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. I mean, immediately I'll be taken into His presence. You see, you are not just your body. That's what you live in. And because somebody sees your body, they don't really see you. They can't understand you just because of that. You know, sometimes we talk about first impressions because we see the body. And we go, oh, my goodness. Or yes. And we don't know what's inside. My soul go to heaven. Be in the presence of the Lord. Now, here's a good one, Q. My body's going to get saved one of these days. My body's going to get saved. You know what's beautiful about that? I can't do it. I'll lose my microphone and everything else. I won't have to wear these glasses. Somebody said, preacher, did you get some new glasses? Yeah. Well, you look so much younger. Somebody else said, did you get some new glasses? I said, yeah. And I said, whoa, you look so much smarter. I'm not taking them off. I'll be dumber and older. But my body's going to get saved. Wow. Going to change some things. I'll have a full mouth of teeth. Do you know what the last, you know what the supper we enjoy with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, I'm not going to have to worry about that kind of stuff. Amen. I won't have to worry if I eat too much sweet stuff. I won't have to worry about that. You know, that old sugar thing that goes up and down and all those marvelous things. Yeah, God's going to make it new. My question to you is this. Do you have what I have? Do you have the hope of glory? It's not what you think. That's what God thinks that matters. It's what He says that matters. It's not what you say. And He has said we need to come unto Him. All ye that labor and heavy laden, He said, I will give you rest. We need to come to Him. Father, today work in our hearts. Thank you for these moments we could stop and consider what the resurrection means. Thank you, O God, that we have this thing of sanctification, this thing of access unto you. O God, we thank you. I pray this morning that you would work in hearts. Maybe there's one here without you. Maybe there's a Christian here that's struggling and maybe been dependent upon themselves and not you. Lord God, I pray that you might help them to see that the victory is in Christ. God bless and work. Before I finish my prayer today, I want to ask you a question. Please, if you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, I don't want you looking around, making anybody feel embarrassed. I'm going to ask people to raise their hands, and I don't want them to feel embarrassed to do so. But between me, you, and God, I'm in this room, could just slip your hand up real quickly and say, "Preacher, I know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know that." Just slip them up all over the auditorium. "I know that." You can put them down. My next question is this. Would you like to know that? Would you like to know that? I'd like to pray for you. I'll not call you by name. Only you, God, and I will know. But is there one, slip their hand up real quickly, I might see it, take it down. "Preacher, I'm concerned about my soul. I don't know, preacher, if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that." Father, today, may you be glorified by every life here. Bless in these moments of invitation, whatever the need might be, that it would be taken care of. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.